Hey everyone, welcome to Basic Binges. I'm your host, Mike Manalo, and you guys might remember me from some of the Moon Knight podcasts that we talked about, and as well as a whole season of Ms. Marvel. But Ms. Marvel is over, and it is now the era of Jennifer Walters. We are here to talk about She-Hulk, Attorney at Law. This one's a very special one, folks, because this is literally a show run by women, about women, and for women. This is really about strong female characters, and we can't talk about this show without having a strong female fandom voice attached to it. So I'd love to introduce my two panelists for today. We've got Jennifer Athey and Carolyn Podding. I'd love for you guys to introduce yourselves. Jennifer, would you like to go?
Hi, my name is Jennifer. It's Athey. And that's okay. Common happens all the time. I am very excited to be here. Thank you for having me. My dip into fandom is mostly with cosplay and nerding out with Mike and Carolyn about all manner of things. I am part of the Avengers Initiative cosplay group. We do a lot of service events in the community, primarily Marvel character related, and that is actually how I met Mike. And I'm just thrilled to be here to talk about this fabulous show. Thank you.
Of course. We've known each other for so long, and I've been getting your last name wrong for this long. I'm okay. So ashamed right now.
It's fine, and everybody does.
Well, thank you for A, correcting me so I won't have to embarrass myself for much longer, and B, okay, for the amazing introduction. For those of you guys who ever want to see Jen as Captain Carter, she makes an amazing Captain Carter, amazing Peggy. She also does an amazing Mighty Thor, one of her most recent cosplays. You should definitely chat with her and talk to her about the process of making an enchanted hammer that's been shattered into pieces and then put it back together. So she's amazing. Amazing, amazing, strong female fandom voice right there. Carolyn, would you like to go next?
Sure. Hi, my name is Carolyn Podig. I am a recent member of the cosplay community. And, excuse me, I mostly do freelance journalism. That's how I ended up actually getting involved with the cosplay community. I've written for Collider, Screen Rant, fandom.net, and I am one of the founding writers for The Marvel Report, which is a Marvel fan site that supports parts of the community. All of the community. And I identify as they, them, and I was raised female. And this is probably one of the first female shows in the Marvel Universe that I felt really excited. And I have a lot of thoughts about how gender plays into this. And I'm really grateful that Mike invited me on to discuss that. So that's what I do. I'm a writer. I'm a beginning cosplayer. And I am a comic book fan.
Nice. I love it. Carolyn, you have a little something there with you that you just showed us right before we started. Can you show everyone what you got? There you go. There it is. That's what it's all about. Carolyn is a Marvel fan extraordinaire. She does an amazing Doctor Strange and also knows literally everything there is to know about Avengers Campus. So if you guys need to know secrets for your visit to Avengers Campus at Disneyland California Adventure, that is the person to hit up right there. So without further ado, I just want to say that this episode is brought to you by Cheetos. Literally, when you want Cheetos and you don't want Cheeto fingers, definitely use chopsticks, just like they do in the show. I do not have chopsticks on me, so I will not be showing you guys how to do that. But that being said,
we have free license to make fun of his fingers.
Darn it.
Being that this is Basic Binges, are you guys eating anything or drinking anything right now?
I'm being very gauche with my giant bottle of Coca-Cola. So
yes. There you go. Nice.
She-Hulk size thirst.
Best swig ever,
I did have basic Domino's for dinner.
Nice.
It was an easy cooking night, and then water because you have to stay hydrated when it's as hot as it is. So
yes,
it is sparkling lime water. So it is fancy.
There you go. Well, that's lime in honor of She-Hulk, right? Because
absolutely.
And another Coke right here too. Honestly, we're just doing this to get sponsorships, guys. How are we doing? Hopefully we're doing okay. Stephanie can answer that after the break. But you know what? Let's get right to it. She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, debuted this week, two nights ago, first episode. I think we've got a couple of fans here. I'd love to hear your initial reactions. Carolyn, I'd love to start with you.
So I was really interested. I've been interested in She-Hulk since they announced the show because I love Hulk as a character. I don't think that we've gotten to see the Hulks in general, and to have it focused on Jennifer, who in the comics is a little bit more of a comedic character. She takes a little bit of a stance of like, not Deadpool-esque, but she's a little more quirky and a little more fun. So I was really interested to see where they were going to go. I picked up some of my comics. I started reading the new ones because the new ones are just amazing. And I was not disappointed. I came into the show expecting to feel, as a non-binary person, expecting to feel a little off, but I felt really comfortable with the dynamic. And like Jen and Bruce, man, they were amazing. So yeah.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah. You know, for those of you guys don't know, you know, Jen Walters debuted in 1980. Deadpool debuted in the early 90s. So for those of you keeping score, she was breaking the fourth wall before the Merc with the Mouth ever was. Just putting it out there. So yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Carolyn. Jen, you recently just mentioned to me that you've seen this episode a record number of times. Do you want to explain to everyone watching?
Sure. I watched it 5 times so far. 5 times. It's so much fun. Now, how could I not be excited about a comic book character named Jennifer? We don't get very many Jennifers that are positive in media or exist at all. We have a phone number on a bathroom wall, Jennifer's body. This is such a positive and fun character. She's so sassy. She's sassy in the comic. She's sassy on the screen. The dynamic, like Carolyn was saying, between her and Bruce is they have a great chemistry. They worked really well together. And she just had some of the best lines. Like, I wanted to stand up and cheer during the scene where he's trying to teach her the dialectic behavior therapy. I was like, yes, yes, yes. And I think many people, not just women, doesn't matter, many people can relate to that loss of power you have sometimes when fear is the expectation, and that's just what you live with. And to see her harness that and really control it was so wonderful. I was so excited.
Carolyn, were you gonna jump in and say something?
I one of the reasons why Hulk is such a big character for me initially with Banner was because, you know, mental health is a very big passion project for me. And so seeing somebody who really has to wrestle with those demons, and Jen's whole sequence, her whole line where she's talking about how she has such a control over her anger already, really drove home for me something that I never realized I was capable of, because it's like, you're absolutely correct. You know, you are taught how to control your anger when you're female. You are really taught how to, because if you don't, and if you react, you just get, so it was a very eye-opening moment for me. And she's just such a, it drove something home that I don't think I'd ever realized until I watched the show. It was amazing.
I have to say, you know, for myself, you know, as a cis Asian male, you know, I've had the pleasure and the fortune of growing up with some really strong women in my life, my mom, my sisters, most of my friends as well. But at the same time, you know, because I'm a cis Asian male, I'm never going to experience things the same way that everyone that I do love that is female experiences them. To hear that moment where Jen tells Bruce, you know, during the what was it? Cognitive therapy? What was it? Behavioral?
Dialectical behavioral therapy.
DBT. You know, where she says, I have to control my anger. That's a regular thing because I'm always getting catcalled or I'm always being told and talked down to about my own, like, you know, profession, or I'm always in fear of getting murdered. I'm just like, oh my God, you know, it's hard. It's so difficult, so much more difficult to that's a real thing. You know, that's not just something in the comics. It's not just a pandering statement or anything like that. That actually is facts. That is what's happening to women in society today, in business, in every aspect of every level of society today. And, you know, it's a very eye-opening thing for, you know, straight males or males in general to hear something like that, because it's not easy. And it makes so much sense for someone like Jennifer Walters to be able to have this level of control over her anger, over her emotions, because that's every day of her life. It may have been 10 years for Bruce, you know, just trying to temper the Hulk, but every day of her life to get to where she is as this deputy district attorney has been like that. So one of my favorite scenes, I think, in the entire episode. I gotta say as well, and I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on this, just as an MCU fan, we don't get a whole lot of time with Bruce Banner in these movies, you know. I think honestly the most screen time that we'll ever have gotten with him, maybe probably Ragnarok, I guess, and of course our 15 to 20 minute, you know, screen times with him in the Avengers films. You know, I think this is the most that we've ever really centered on him, and to kind of just hear how things were for him, you know, and what happened in those 5 years, after the blip, what did you guys think of all that? Like, kind of catching us up with Bruce's story when we didn't have time for that in Endgame.
When I saw that Led Zeppelin shirt, my heart caught in my throat. I was like, oh. And I think, you know, there's a lot of complaints in the MCU that the characters who passed away in Endgame haven't been properly mourned. Mm-hmm. And I think they have been mourned to an appropriate level to their character and what their character would want or expect. But to see how deeply Bruce cared for Tony and really how close they were, like, that kind of gave me chills. And then when they had the carving their initials in the bar, it made me like choke up a little bit. But also, to me, he kind of needs to move out of that to be able to effectively help himself and help Jennifer. So I think her crashing into the bar was kind of symbolic of her kind of pushing him out of his comfort zone a little bit. But that Led Zeppelin shirt was just a gut punch for me. So it was, I like where they're taking him right now.
I liked seeing the development of Bruce's character. Like, you really, how detailed he had to be to like control all of this. And you get an idea of, you know, the level of science that he went through just to really learn about himself. I have to agree with Jen though, that Jennifer was the literal, I have to agree with Jen about Jennifer, that Jennifer's presence is I hope going to be a really positive one, because you can tell that every part of the lab, you could tell, had like feeling in it, and you wanted to think about that maybe this was the start of what led them to be like, have Tony be like, we're gonna buy an island, when they were doing their little therapy session. I forget what movie they had their therapy session in, but you're like, maybe that was what led to them to be by the island. And you could really, like, I think that this isn't just Jennifer's growth as a hero. I think that this is Bruce's continued growth as, like, the Hulk, because you don't see him, like I said, mental health is a big passion for me. You don't see him combine the two parts of himself. You don't see him heal, but you don't often need to. That's like Moon Knight. Moon Knight, you know, there's other ways to tell stories about mental health. With Bruce, you know, you see him taking the next steps. Mm-hmm. And I think that Jen's presence in that was just perfect, and especially her checking him on his tortured hero behavior. I love a tortured hero, but she just shut him down.
I love that you guys picked up on all of that. Even more so, I was a little bit more obtuse until you guys were kind of just talking about it now. Jennifer really does act as kind of a catalyst for Bruce healing and Bruce growing, literally too. Her blood is the reason that he's able to heal this scarred hand of his from Infinity War. It's almost like symbolic of it. But more than that, you're right, Carolyn. I mean, like his journey has been that of the tortured hero. And Jen's like, you don't have to be the tortured hero. And damned if I'm going to be the bloody tortured hero, because I've worked my ass off to get where I am today. Mm-hmm. I can actually move forward. And technically, Bruce, you can too. So whether it's the fixing of his arm or the rebuilding of this bar, the breaking it down and the rebuilding of it, there's a lot of symbolism behind, destruction and then rebirth after all of this. When it comes to Bruce's character and how important Jennifer is to that arc. So I love that we're talking about this. It's like group therapy, you know, which is awesome. It's great. Thank you for pointing that out. Were you going to say something, Carolyn?
Well, I was going to say that you also, Jen doesn't just talk about how, she really does call, she calls him out on something, and you get the idea that she's got a lot of experience in this, which makes me really interested about the rest of the Banner family, because when they're in the car at the beginning and they're on their road trip, and she's like, and he's like, who's a genius? You're a genius too. And then they mention Chet, and I'm like, who's Chet Banner? There's more Banners out there. We need to find these mysterious Banners. Jen, Banner family reunion. Jennifer, that's your next goal after you've become the green goddess you're destined to be, ma'am. Like, I need to know these things.
Very true. Very true. There is, I actually am not familiar with any Chet Banner from the comics, I'm going to be honest. No. So if they're setting something up, or if this is an allusion to a different Chet in the comics,
right.
I'm very curious to see what
that is. I mean, like,
it could just be a throwaway. Yeah,
it is a great throwaway line either way. I just picture the guy with the popped collar on the polo shirt, you know, and sitting at MIT drinking a margarita,
eating Cheetos with chopsticks.
Chopsticks, of course.
No, but Jen's the one that patented that. Well, technically Oscar Isaac did, but you know, that's real world, not 616. Anyways, any more to say regarding kind of those intro scenes with Jen kind of getting her powers and everything?
I will say it felt a teeny bit rushed, but the format has a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if I can say this, but I've seen the first four episodes. So that's part of the reason I had to watch the first episode five times. So I remembered what happened when, and I didn't go ahead of myself. So, but I can either confirm or deny that Chet ever shows up. But it would be great. Yeah. I think it took a couple seconds to get running, but by the time she got to that sports bar, the scene in the bathroom with the four ladies who come in and they were like, oh no, we're gonna fix you up. I don't need makeup. Yes, you do. And it was just such a, that's such a girl thing. Should be a person thing, but we do that. We go in packs, and if you're down, I'm gonna help you up. So if it's blush, if it's a jacket, if I just, you know, help you wipe your tears, whatever it is, that was I loved that.
It was incredibly sweet. Yeah. I gotta say,
there's a real sense of camaraderie that I don't think a lot of show. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. I was done.
There's a real sense of camaraderie in, and you don't see that. It's like the not to segue to the opposing team briefly, but that scene in Birds of Prey, where I think it was Canary, Harley handed Canary a hair tie. There's a real sense of sisterhood and connection between women that you don't really get to see portrayed. And it's different than, say, something like Agent Carter, which I was thinking about today, because poor Peggy had that sisterhood, but she felt so empowered to like go it alone. And I feel bad. I wish she had more people around her like that. And it's really refreshing to see something that, you know, you've grown up with portrayed like that.
I will say I loved Angie. Peggy and Angie were like the best, buddies ever. I eventually, if the show had continued, and I really wish it did, I would have loved to see Dottie really become like buddies with You know, frenemies with Peggy. That would have been great because Dottie was so good. But yeah, I missed that show. Sorry, guys.
Me too.
Yes. I think we all do. You know, the thing about sisterhood, I love that strong sense of sisterhood that we're seeing in this show. And that, like, you know, what Jen was commenting on about anger, it's based on real stuff. This is kind of that camaraderie that actually does exist in real life. And in a way, it kind of shows how crappy men can kind of be to women, you know, to the point where, you know, it's automatically expected for other women to have each other's backs because guys have just put other women in that situation so many times, you know, and it's, you feel for, if that really was kind of like, you know, a guy situation, there was a girl that was like all beaten up and like bloodied and all that stuff. You'd feel for someone like that and really rally for, you know, those group of women to kind of help her out and everything like that. But then you cut to how crappy those guys are when she's out in the, you know, in front of the bar and she's just waiting for her ride. She tells them to screw off like a couple times and they just aren't taking the hint. You know, and then she just like hulks out and like roars at them, which is both hilarious and kind of cheerworthy because that's our first glimpse of She-Hulk before Bruce just like, you know, takes her out and everything like that. I know, I really like that scene. I thought it was fantastic. It's one of the best things about She-Hulk is when you have you know, hopefully no offense to the Russos or to Marcus McFeely, who did, you know, Endgame is my favorite MCU movie ever. But when you have male writers and directors doing a scene like the She's Got Help scene, it comes off very pandering and very artificial. When you actually have female showrunners and writers and directors behind a female-led project, there's genuine sincerity behind all of that. And I actually really appreciate that about She-Hulk. I think it just does a great job of that. And it's because Jessica Gao and Kat Kioro, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. She directed several episodes of Girls Five Ever and everything like that. They're running this show the way that they should run a show like this. And it's not pandering. It's very realistic. It's very authentic. And I appreciate that very, very much. Yeah.
Well, if I may real quick, you have to, I think you're absolutely right. And it is the diversity. It is the diversity around behind the camera and making people feel comfortable being diverse behind the camera, because there have been so many discussions about female led projects in the MCU, like Captain Marvel, where everyone's like, this doesn't feel authentic, or, you know, all these other things. It's like, you have to give people the freedom to like, somebody's not going to understand this, and you have to ask people to open up about it. And it's essential. I think what we're seeing is growth as far as those, because sometimes with some of the earlier stuff, at least to me, it felt a little tentative. And I don't know if you guys would feel this, y'all would feel the same way. But it felt a little tentative, like they're creeping forward. It's like, can we talk about this? What can we say about it? Can we fully embrace the femininity that comes with these things? Can we, like, what can we add to it? And so I think it feels a little awkward. It feels a little pandering. It feels like, but it's growing pains. Yeah. And it's not something that you could get from the Russos. It's something that had to come from somebody, you know, born female.
Absolutely. Jen, any thoughts on your end?
Well, that to kind of go back a little bit, when she comes out of the bar, out of that great scene of these people embracing her, into something that just puts the exclamation point on the line she hasn't even said yet. It's that exact lived experience. I've been through it. Everyone I can think of has had some experience like that. Mm-hmm. And it was uncomfortable, but it was so organic, like just how they slipped into their treatment of her. And I really think that, yes, it was tentative in the past with the female led, whether it was behind the scenes or the main character, but I think the comedy helps a little bit, because it kind of lets us have that nervous laugh when, yeah, oh my gosh, these guys, it's peril, right? You're feeling anxious. And then all of a sudden she just hulks out and their reaction is so funny. And you're like, oh, okay, whew, she's okay. But I think that the comedy might help kind of ease the way a little bit and make it, because it's not trying to be all drama and you know, girl power. It's it's just reality. And I think that that's going to really help this one shine. I really feel that way with this project.
Awesome. There was definitely one thing that I wanted to touch on, actually. Any theories about the Sakaarian spaceship that ended up kind of derailing them when they, you know, during for the car accident?
I think the Grandmaster just misses him. Just wants to say hi. He's having a birthday party.
Please, please. A Jeff Goldblum cameo would be amazing. on this cake. He just shows up, you know, he and Jen can party together, and then Jen can tell him to screw off, because that is that would be the perfect yes. perfect cherry. That would be a delicious cherry for this particular Sunday right there.
Yes.
I feel like, given the tone, the sitcom-y tone of the show, it needs Jeff Goldblum's, like, his humor would just fit in so perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
It would be an amazing cameo if that happened. I would love it. I think there's a good possibility that we might be looking at a World War Hulk project maybe down the line. You know, I mean, like, who knows? We got Sakaar and Gladiator battles, of course, in Ragnarok. It wasn't truly, you know, World War Hulk, because it was, let's be honest, Thor Ragnarok, and it was amazing. We all love it. It's one of my favorites. But it wasn't World War Hulk. And if people want World War Hulk, I mean, what a better opportunity to go back to that project if Sakaar comes back into the equation, right? So,
oh yeah,
who knows. Yeah, there was one thing that I loved about the show, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Whenever you go online, and let's be honest, Twitter, Marvel fandom, you know, cinephiles, all of that, it can be pretty toxic. You know, there's a lot of people out there, you know, recently. Carolyn's like, no, never. No, but there were a lot of people out there when the Wakanda Forever trailer dropped, for example, that were like, oh, and I'm not going to name names, but there is particularly one person in particular that said something that kind of like set me off a little bit. He was like, oh, we better see Shuri training, because she can't be a good Black Panther out the gate. And I was like, F you, you know, for first of all, she probably has been training all her life. Dora Milaje is, you know, like her bodyguard. And second of all, she can be freaking good out the gate, because look at this family. This is the royal family. She's a warrior too, you know. But there's this whole idea behind Mary Sue's, you know. I mean, people like to jump on the Mary Sue train when it comes to female characters being proficient at things, being proficient, especially at being superheroes, whether it's Rey, whether it's Shuri, whether it's Jen Walters. And I love in this show, Jessica Gao basically is just like, F you to anyone out there who just, you know, is going to call this out. I am legitimately going to make Jen so good at everything, so much better at everything, you know, whether it's her getting control of her anger and not having a split personality, whether it's her being able to outdo, you know, Hulk with the boulder toss, or like smashing the ground, or even like thunderclapping. I love how intentional it all was to shut up people who just, you know, have take issue with female characters being so good at what they do, and not bring up those same issues with, like, let's say Tony Stark or Steve Rogers or anyone like that, you know, male characters. What did you guys think of that? Did you guys catch that as well, or think that that was pretty evident? I don't know.
Yes, and it's perfect, because they can couch it as this cousin rivalry. Of course I have to do better than you, because you're, you know, oh, okay, you can do that. Well, look what I can do. So I think it, yeah. Now, so for me, Mary Sue means something else entirely, because I came up in like fandom in the 90s with, that was when Mary Sue was a very specific thing in fan fiction, right? Mm-hmm. And apparently I have learned it's taken on a new definition, which these things often do. But no, I just love it. It's just, it's unabashed. It's just like, she's going to be good at everything. And she's doing it in a way where, like, her coworker, and his name escapes me, the one with the beard.
Bug?
Beardy.
Okay. Yeah, the beardy guy that Nikki, I think, wants to elbow in the head. Mm-hmm. You know, his little smile, telling her to smile, telling her he could do a better job. And she doesn't address it. She just goes in there and does a better job than he ever could. Yeah. And I think that's the thing, is it's you have to do it in a way where it's not forced. So she just is better. It's not like and it's not magical. She works hard, mm-hmm. you know, and she is a different Hulk than Bruce is. So without extensive testing, how is he going to know what? She might just be better because their blood is mixed and she's got, you know, a couple different things going on in there. So I do like that about this. It kind of kicks the Mary Sue thing on its head. So I like that.
Well, let me take a different tact here because I agree. And then also, since there's a lot of people who are upset, let me take a moment to refer to the comic books, especially these older comic books, mm-hmm. because the older comic books, you know, she is the center of this particular story and she goes through a ton of stuff that, you know, makes her considerably more capable, and it's never questioned by any of the characters in the comics. In one of the, in the story that I think they briefly reference in, at the top of the first episode, with Jameel, as Tatiana, she literally is forced to, and we can address the inherent misogyny and a little bit of playing to the male gaze here by saying this, but she's forced to basically like change in the courtroom, go out, fight her, come back, keep trying to give her case, go out, fight her again, come back, keep trying to give her a case. And it's played for laughs, like what Jennifer said earlier, which I think might make it a little more palatable to people. But she is the main character. So when she's sharing, even if she's sharing the stage with other main characters, I can't speak to the most recent titles but I've been reading the older stuff. She doesn't interact with Bruce a lot. She doesn't interact with a lot of the other characters a lot. It's her book. So yeah, she's going to be better. You guys, the gentlemen who do not understand this, if there's any women who do not understand this, if there's any trans individuals or cis individuals who do not understand this, this is her story. Mm-hmm. So people just need to accept that she is written to be the focal point character and she's going to be good at stuff but you don't really see, you haven't spent time with her yet and you don't, it's that's how it is.
I love that the show takes that approach to it too. That's yeah. just how it is. These are different characters. Jen and Bruce, their DNA, they have similarities in their DNA, but they're still different people and mm-hmm. they're still got some different blood. I mean, they're cousins, right? And hers might synthesize gamma radiation better than he can. She certainly, you know, isn't going to have the Jekyll and Hyde thing that he did, you know? I think it definitely also speaks to Bruce's psyche a little bit more so, you know, and kind of those two warring halves of themselves rather than Jen, who really just had a confident, full-on, regular personality that wasn't conflicted, you know? So I think I love that. You've got two characters here, and one character might be, you know, potentially seen as derivative of the other, but it couldn't be any less derivative because it's a completely different character and completely different person. And I really did like that about it. Any other final thoughts on the Mary Sue topic?
Yeah. I think that, no, Jen, I'm sorry. Were you going to say something, Jennifer?
No.
I keep wanting to call you Jen. Can I call you Jen?
Yes. I prefer, just don't call me Jenny and we're good.
Okay. Okay. See, it's because you get Jen and then you have Jennifer Walters. I think that as far as the stuff that Mary used to, what I wanted to say was about Bruce. She never specifically, you have to watch the show, but she never specifically puts him down for his mental health stuff. And I think that a lot of very, very sensitive people on the internet were saying that, you know, oh, it's anti-male because there's this very strong character. And and then there are going to be the inevitable people who say, oh, they don't treat his mental health well, or, you know, oh, they're not looking at his struggle. I was looking at a post about this today on Twitter. Somebody said that they were that she came in and she was just immediately better. And it's like, oh, well, they're not focusing on the fact that he lost his best friend and he did so much and he saved the universe in Infinity War because of what she, you know, because it's just, you know, men aren't allowed to do any, you know, blah, 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 whatever. They're not allowed to feel these things because, you know, they need to have their time and he needs to be the focus. And we talked about how Jen acknowledges it and kind of pushes him forward. And to me, calling her a Mary Sue and saying that they don't put enough focus on Bruce is a fundamental misunderstanding of trauma, because Bruce has been through a lot of trauma, and you can't, part of trauma is like, you know, it is a part of him. She never dismisses that it's a part of him. She never dismisses his struggle with two different halves of himself. I could easily see, and you can imagine a scene where the two of them are discussing it, and she's just like, you know, yeah, this is how I am. This is who I am. But he's never put down for it. She's better than he is. She never puts him down for it. She just jokingly laughs it off and moves on. And he's allowed to be, you know, she calls him on it. And then she's just like, okay, you know, I'm going to step away. It's like, if you want to be like this, then you want to be like this. He's the one that pursues her and says, you have to cope like I do.
Yeah.
And he gets in, and he gets his mind blown when she's just like, no, I don't. And it's that, and that's just, you know, that to me was a good way to cope with trauma. Cause he's, yes. She's not denying it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She really does help him so much. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jen.
No, I was just saying, just, you know, to not even get into deepness and specifics of it, the show's called She-Hulk, not Bruce Banner, the Hulk. So she is going to be the focus, just like in the comics. She's the main character. Mm-hmm. And I've had to tell a couple people, I went into the comments, you never should do that for your own mental health, but I did it anyway, you know, and I've used the phrase, that's because this show wasn't written for you, a number of times this week. So since Wednesday's 2 days, because a lot of people are like, well, it doesn't do this and it doesn't do that. And maybe it's just not written for you. And that's okay. Not everything has to be for everyone. But of course, you can probably guess there's a particular demographic that feels this way, that the show isn't catering to them and to their little feelings. And it's, so it's just kind of fun to say, it's not for you. Yep. Not everything's about you. So
I echo those sentiments from both of you guys. Terrifically said. I don't think I have any more to add to that. I think to piggyback slightly on the show is not for you bit as well. First off, for those with bruised egos, tough shit. I mean, I'm just gonna say.
Yep.
And second of all, you got to give credit to Marvel Studios, because they are legitimately trying something different here in multiple ways. This is the first of its kind in three different ways. Really fully female driven comedy, and sitcom, you know, second way, and third, legal drama. You know, it's a legal comedy, you know. This isn't meant to be about She-Hulk saving Sokovia from Ultron bots or saving the world from Thanos. She legitimately says out front, there's no appeal in being a superhero. I want to be a lawyer. This is a lawyer show. You know, she tells the camera, law show. Yeah, Carolyn.
So, okay. Delving briefly, I have to segue to Avengers Campus, which Jen, you're going to see when you come. We have a She-Hulk bench now.
Ooh.
So excited. My mom and sister are going to be so mad at me.
it's a She-Hulk bench. It's an extra double-sized bench. And it's a part of the ad campaign. And I can tell people this because people have seen it. Yes, it's a part of the ad campaign. So when you call the number, it goes to her lawyer line. Yeah. So you call the number, call 1-877 and then the number. And it's there, you get a recorded message. And nobody knew about that. The reason why I bring it up in relation to what Mike said about different things that the MCU is trying to do is because it adds so much more realism. When I'm at campus, I can be in the Marvel universe. And the Marvel universe isn't just it isn't just training and it isn't just constant world threats. There are people who take out the trash. There are people who make the food. There are people who need lawyers. So to have She-Hulk do world building, that's another thing that this show is doing. And I'm really glad that it's taking a little bit of a comedic bent to it, but it's building the world around them, and it's going to answer questions. It's like, how did the blip, it's a lighter take on what Falcon and Winter Soldier did. It's like, how did the blip affect people? How does it affect people when a 7-foot-tall green woman is there? Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to be able to see people interact with that at Avengers Campus, and to see people who can suddenly play the character who needs to call She-Hulk because they made a robot that accidentally is going to destroy humanity and they need an attorney. Who better than the woman who goes green so you can get green?
That's better, right? Call Jen. We love that. Yeah.
Don't call me. Call her. I can't.
Better call Jen Walters. There you go.
Yes.
Speaking of comments, we've got a good comment section, not a bad comment section, I promise. And we've got a couple shout outs that I'd like to give shout outs to. Meeks NQ, I know you're watching. They say, let's go, Jen. So there's that. And then we've got Wreck-It Vince is rating with a party. Wreck-It Vince says, hi, Jennifer. I think you've got a couple of fans there, Jen. So this is a better comment section than the ones that you've been seeing. So thank you guys for watching. This is awesome. I love the support. Definitely, we're going to have these guys on multiple times during this season, I promise. For now, there is one topic that we have not covered that I think is a huge Hulk in the room, let's say. The virginity of Captain America is addressed in this. I don't know how to ask any questions that are relevant to that, except to toss it to you guys and go, what did you think?
Jennifer?
I was laughing so hard at that end credit, like the end mid-credit scene. I had tears in my eyes. Now, everybody has their own idea about Steve, okay? And some people will say, oh, it's the blonde who's then ended up playing Star-Lord's mom. Mm-hmm. I don't think that. Did you see the red dress Peggy walked into that pub in? Mm, Peggy was there on the USO tour. Yeah. And Peggy is, Steve is a very old-fashioned guy. Peggy was the love of his life.
Yeah.
Hands down. And in my... like I said, my little Peggy Carter loving heart, she's all over this office. It was Peggy on the USO tour. No, it may not have been the red dress night, but it very well could have been. What female Captain America fan who has the hots for Steve hasn't thought about it? If they say they haven't, they are lying through their teeth. My friend and I have had extended conversations about this. Just, 3 a.m. kind of stuff. No, it's a funny thing. I've seen a couple people who actually were offended by it. They think it's not our business or we shouldn't talk about Steve like that. Or I didn't go deep into the comments because, again, comments. But it was just a bit of fun that goes with the show. And I love that it's not idle chatter. I mean, obviously, she's a big Steve fan. Look at her phone background. I don't even have Steve on my phone background. Yeah. So, he's just everywhere else. But so I just thought it was her having fun. And it's also a way to get under her, I'm assuming, older cousin's skin. So it serves two purposes for her.
Yeah.
So
I loved it.
Yeah.
So the funny thing about what Jennifer is saying is that this is another one of those universal experiences, much like the sisterhood of women coming together. There's always a conversation about if Steve, because this is what cracked me up, is hearing how many women have discussed this. I am trans, but I too have a Steve Rogers discussing virginity story. I was at a party when I first moved up to Orange County. I was at a party with a very dear friend of mine named April. And I had a lot to drink and I was debating, just like Jennifer did. I'm unashamed to admit this because it's very funny. I was debating Captain America's virginity. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's and it's un-American if he's not a virgin. And I was just like, wait. So to have it come back, to have it circle back to that, and then have Jennifer say that, and I'm just like, this is a conversation that we've been having unintentionally, collectively.
Oh, yeah. And then,
you talked about this too?
Does it make you feel better knowing that this is a common topic in among Marvel fans? So it makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah, I mean I had a lot to drink that night, and I just was dedicated. I had a Jennifer, I'll call it my Jennifer Walters moment. I was dedicated to the idea of proving that Captain America had to not be a virgin. and for the stupidest reason, but it was a crazy conversation and then to see everybody else discussing it. I would be remiss in saying that there's a small part of me that did find it a little odd to discuss it. I mean, as I said, I was having that discussion when I was drunk. And if the situation were reverse, if it was, say, discussing a woman instead of a man, that would present a situation like what happened in Natasha in Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
At least. Sure. However, I thought that, especially Evans, did y'all see Evans' tweet about
it? Yes. So good.
And then Ruffalo replied to him too.
He did? I didn't see that. Oh man. I can't go look, but oh man, I'm definitely going to go look in a sec. But it's all in good fun. And I think that as long as they set that kind of stuff up, there's no problem with it. And people, you know, we acknowledge it. We acknowledge that there. And then Evans took it fine. And obviously I have a hilarious drinking story where I climbed on top of a car and proclaimed this. So it truly was a Jennifer Walters moment. I did. It's true. And Jennifer had real, true adult conversations about it. So it was a very funny MCU moment.
It was so funny for me. First off, the MCU is 3 for 3 in mid-credits, like F-bombs. I think Aunt May, like right before Homecoming cuts, the last lines of Homecoming are "what the fuck?" And then like it just cuts. Nick Fury getting dusted in Infinity War. He's like, "Motherfuck," and then boom. And then now Jennifer Walters going like, "Captain just America, it's the greatest." You have to admit, again, in real life, people do discuss these things, especially if they're two adults and you're on a beach and you've got nothing, you're drunk as you're drinking. I mean,
all the alcohol.
The alcohol.
This is the world that they're living in, and Steve Rogers, for as much of a hero as he is also a celebrity, and not just any celebrity. He's as good at looking as he is, as Chris Evans is in real life, is how good looking Steve Rogers is in this universe. So people are going to talk about it. And definitely agreed, with someone like Black Widow, it would absolutely not be appropriate because, let's be frank, Black Widow, for better or worse, I mean, obviously not a normal upbringing, but very much so possible for her to have relationships, to have love lives or something like that, because she wasn't frozen for 70 years, whereas Captain America, it's totally logical to potentially question that because, no one knew what his relationship status was before he went into the ice and then came out. So I think it's totally fine to do it. I thought it was hilarious, and it's not the first time that Steve Rogers' sexuality and experience has been questioned. Going back to Winter Soldier, where he kisses Natasha because they're on the escalator and they're trying to throw off the strike team. She asks him if that was like his first kiss. It's like 1943, and they have that awkward conversation. So. It's all within the realm of this universe. I mean, between America's ass and between, Captain America, Steve Rogers has been a sex symbol just as much as he's been a national symbol. So.
And he agrees about his own ass.
Yeah, he agrees about his own ass.
If he can say it.
Yeah. Jennifer definitely agrees about it. You know?
Yes, we both do. Myself and Walters. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Carolyn, were you going to say something? Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I think that Marvel wants to go that way, not go in a perverse way or anything else, but yeah, acknowledge that they're telling human stories. They're not telling specifically Disney-wide stories. Disney has a very specific brand that is very, very family-friendly, but Marvel recognizes it's telling a story about the whole world. What reminded me of this was I was interviewing the tiniest of non-sequiturs. I was interviewing one of the composers for Thor, Love, and Thunder for a piece, and she mentioned that one of the things that they ended up nixing during Love and Thunder was... I don't know what the policy is on spoilers, but it's been out for over a month, so I'm just going to go with it.
Go for it.
The scene where Russell Crowe is talking about orgies. Yeah. Originally, they cut out because they wanted to have choir singing the word orgy over and over again.
Oh, my God.
It's Greek. It's Greek. That's what they did. He's a Greek god. That's what they did. He was like, we had a whole, I don't know if it's going to be on the behind the scenes, but we had a whole choir singing the word orgy over and over again. And I was like, but that reminded me of it because this is the world. Stanley called it the world outside your window. And in the world outside your window, Captain America fucked.
I hope Stephanie was ready with the censor there. No, I'm
kidding. Sorry, Stephanie.
Totally okay. I mean, yeah, he did. That's not a lie. So there you go. But yeah, no, awesome. Hilarious, guys. I love it. And for the record, since you haven't seen it yet, Carolyn, I pulled it up for you. Mark, that's Mark's tweet. He said, sorry, bro, I was under extreme duress. So he had no choice. Right. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to seeing where the rest of this show goes. It leaves us off with a little bit of a cliffhanger, in a way. We know the origin of how Jennifer Walters became She-Hulk, but we leave off at the courtroom, and she hulks out in front of everyone to save everyone in the courtroom from Titania, and the world now knows that she is Jennifer Walters is a Hulk is. She-Hulk, for lack of a better term. What do you guys think about that ending scene? How do you think Jamil's Titania is going to play into this later on? Any thoughts or theories?
Well, I'm rewatching The Good Place, so my brain had to do like a hard left with the, because I was like, Tawny would never wear this. What is what is this outfit? I already know I'm going to love the character because I love the actress. She's incredible. And she gives zero F's about anything. And I think that she's going to kind of bring that to her character as well. And if I were, that was not in the first episode. So never mind that. But see, this is why I had to watch it 5 times.
Okay.
Everything about her as a person, I wish I could be that self-assured and that open about everything. It's something I aspire to, even though she's probably half my age, not quite, but I think she's going to play into the fun of the series, and it's going to be whatever it is. It's going to be kind of a fun back and forth with the two of them. I don't know. I can't wait to see what she can do with the character. Cause I like the fact that she's not perfectly put together, even though we didn't see very much of her. Her hair is kind of like wild, and she's wearing this outfit that I'm pretty sure I saw in San Francisco in the 90s when I was in college. So I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but no, I'm her character. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm ready to see where they take us next.
Absolutely.
So it's literally like straight out of this particular comic. It's in Solo Avengers Hawkeye, together again, the Avenging Archer and the Black Widow from, and then at the bottom, it's She-Hulk versus Titania. How do you say her name?
Titania.
Okay. It's She-Hulk version versus Titania. And it's straight up. She bursts into the courtroom wearing her outfit and two and the two of them battle, and then Jen, like I said, Jen just keeps going back and trying to have, you know, trying to argue her case, because it's about the Mutant Registration Act. So she's trying to argue her case about the Mutant Registration Act, and Titania keeps showing up. But what I think is the coolest thing, and what I'd like to see them do is, and I don't know if they'll do it later in the four episodes, I'm the only one that hasn't watched them yet, but she calls her nicknames. Titania calls her Shulky, and Jennifer calls her Cuddles. And so I'm really interested if they bring that element in. And it's just for a fight scene, and I know Titania is one of her big villains. And for a fight scene like this, you know, she's very I'm just really excited to see how they do it. It's a lot of fun. And it has a very sweet ending too. Like there's the panel where it's right there. This is the worst thing I should just have, but like she's talking to the guy she's in the courtroom with, yeah. And he's just like, here, have a Mentos or have a lifesaver, you'll feel better. And she goes, are you my dad? And he's like, well, you know, it's something all we dads know. And it's he's such a strong, because she's literally picking up Titania and then throws her into the ground, and then 5 seconds later she's having a lifesaver with this dude who looks like a walking dad cliche. So I'm in love with the character, and I, as a trans person, I'm really interested, like just seeing the different costumes and seeing the characters, everything. I'm really interested to see how this show will play with gender. Just say that.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited about this too. Jamil is just such a good actress. Her comedic timing, if you've ever watched The Good Place, and if you haven't, get on Netflix right
definitely.
Now.
Definitely.
It will make you cry like a baby by the end of it, but it's so wonderful. And she plays just like this disgusting person that you love so much, because she's the worst, but she's also kind of wonderful and lovable. She's amazing. So I can't wait to see more of her. We only got a taste of her here. I think, you know, based on Carolyn, what you showed us of the costume and everything, I'm half wondering if Jamila is pretty happy that they didn't give her that costume. it's a very 90s WrestleMania kind of costume. I think that it doesn't leave much to the imagination, but I'm curious. I kind of love the weird fashion sense that she had on with, I guess, like the frizzy chaps and everything, you know. I mean, we'll see where it takes her. I for one, I'm excited. I know you guys are too.
In the comics, she's very, in a, it's a very female, it's a very feminine led character, because in the comics, at least from what I've read, she's very, she wants powers, and she's kind of jealous of She-Hulk, and she's kind of jealous of everybody else. And then she goes to Dr. Doom, and Dr. Doom gives Titania powers. And, but she's not entirely sure how to use them. They kind of choreographed that in her fashion sense, though, because if they're right, and I was reading, she's like supposed to be a social media influencer. If they're right, and she's just taking stuff out of various trends, then that does kind of come off with her. You know, she doesn't know how to use it. She doesn't know how to use her skills. She's just trying to figure it out. And then she just bursts into the courtroom like the Kool-Aid man going, oh, yeah.
That's well put. I wish we could talk about this more, you guys. This was so amazing, and just being able to get your perspectives on all of this, you know, as strong female fans, or in Carolyn's case, of course, assigned female for, it means everything to me, and I think it means everything to our viewers as well. There's plenty of more episodes. There's 9 of these, actually, which I'm loving, because Marvel learned that the 6th episode format is just too short with these wonderful characters. So there's 9 episodes coming. This was only the first of 9. So we'll have plenty more chances to have fun and talk about all of this stuff and all of the greatness that is Jennifer Walters in future installments. So to wrap it up, I'd love to kick it to you guys, just to see where everyone can find you, if you want to, you know, plug that, and go from there. Carolyn, would you like to say your outros?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter @CarolynInFandom. That's my name, Carolyn, and then AT and then fandom with a capital F. It's what we all do. I mostly tend to tweet about Marvel. A lot of my tweets have been She-Hulk lately. I have a weird interest in strange indie horror games lately. That's been a big plus. And I do freelance writing work. So if you have pitches or you'd like to talk to me about something, please feel free to reach out. My email is in my Twitter bio. It's where I do most of my work. You can also find me at... You can find me on Avengers Campus like 90% of the time. You go to Pym Tech, you ask for Dr. Pym, or you ask for one of the busers. That's me.
Or you check the She-Hulk bench.
Yeah, check the She-Hulk. Sorry, call Jennifer. That's what I've been telling people.
Thank you for that, Carolyn. Jen, how about you?
I am on Instagram, and it's at @do_as_PeggySays. That part is all one word. It's going to be a lot of cat pictures right now because we are coming up on the 1 year of adopting our orange Charlie, and he is my constant companion throughout the week, but a lot of cosplay, some vintage stuff, and just whatever strikes my fancy at the time. So I don't do Twitter because of the rage that it instills in my heart. So I may check it out now and then, but yeah, definitely. And if you ever want to know more about the Avengers Initiative or cosplay and service in cosplay, definitely hit me up. I can talk your ear off about it for an hour. I do whole panels about it.
Amazing. Thanks, Jen. And of course, you can find me, Mike Manalo, at TidyBowlBoy182 on Twitter and Instagram. But also, you can find my work on thenerdsofcolor.org, whattowatch.com, and That's It LA. And of course, as always, continue to tune in to Basic Binges and the Nomtalk Network. Thank you guys, as always. And we'll see you at the next She-Hulk episode. Bye.